Welcome to another episode of Skincare
and Scandals. I'm Nicole, and as always, I am joined by the absolutely lovely.
Absolutely lovely. Do you hear that?
Feeling generous.
Alicia.
And we're back today to talk to you about all the products that you slather on your face and the scandals behind them.
Well, it feels like 100 million years since I have seen you to record. It's crazy. You know, we miss one. We take one, like literally 1 week of vacation on this thing. And I'm right. Like, podcast, what?
You're like, how do we do that again?
I know. It's so strange.
It is.
But it was really nice. So if you're listening to these episodes in order, we took a vacation last week because the day we drop our new episodes was July 4th, which was
America's birthday. Hear the eagle call.
America's birthday.
It was an eagle calling in the distance, but I don't know what sounded eagle screech.
Let me
how you make an
then.
Eagle screech. So I called, and which is not what the eagle does. It is disrespectful to our national bird. I'm so sorry.
Eagles really have like a disappointing sound. I remember when I first found out what they really sounded like when they screech, and it is so disappointing. It's not menacing at all. It sounds like a little parakeet. It's actually surprising. You should look it up.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bald eagles. Yeah. Look it up. So we had a lot of fun. I hope everyone enjoyed their July 4th. I mean, again, I guess if you're not listening to this the week after July 4th, then maybe this doesn't mean anything, but it was enjoyable. It was nice to spend time with family and friends.
It was. I mean, 4th of July is one of my favorite holidays. It is.
It really is a lot of fun. I feel like it's one of those holidays where you tend to have like certain outfits that you wear for this particular holiday. You have an excuse to coordinate all the red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
And
everyone's in a good mood. Have burgers. You can have hot dogs.
That's right. And Nicole and I, it's one of the like three vacation days a year that we get.
So. And everyone is like in a haze of 4th of July. So everyone leaves you alone. It's like a true holiday weekend. It's amazing.
It really is. It really is. It was nice. Everyone actually respects it.
Nice.
Yeah.
But you know what people did not respect over 4th of July weekend?
The bright, bright sun.
The bright, bright ball of fire.
Yes.
That we rotate around every day.
So if you lived in a part of the country where you had some lovely weather, as we did down here in the Sunshine State, then you probably spent some time outside, whether you were at the beach or on a boat or just hanging out outside with family and friends. And maybe you forgot to apply SPF, or maybe you forgot to reapply your SPF and things went south.
Or maybe you thought you were getting a base tan, which is
a lie.
A lie.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll start off with like just some common misconceptions of what a sunburn is.
Yeah.
And just some misconceptions around sunburns. And then we'll tell you what and what not to do when you don't listen to us and you get one.
Yes.
So let's talk about what a sunburn is. So sunburn is a collection of the ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Obviously, it makes your skin red, but it is literally a type of a radiation burn, which is completely wild if you think about it. Like, you're over-radiated.
Yeah.
And now you're red. So just keep that in mind. Now, it's not like, oh, I'm a little warm. Speaking of being a little warm, actually, me and one of my childhood friends, she was my neighbor growing up, we wanted to get tan. And so we thought, like, if you blow dried yourself and made yourself red, it would tan. And that's not true. It just makes you really, really dry and itchy.
Oh, no.
But yeah. But a glimpse into young Nicole. Always trying to be tan. But any type of sunburn that you get is going to increase your risk for melanoma and skin cancer over time. So it's super important to try to avoid getting burnt at all. There's this common misconception of a base tan. And I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
That if you kind of let yourself get burnt once and then you tan, you won't get as burnt again. And that's just simply not true at all. Base tans are not a thing. Same thing with going to a tanning bed before you go tan and getting a base tan like that. Not safe at all. Like, none of that is going to serve you well.
Well, and so what a lot of people don't realize, I think, is that a sunburn is actually a burn. So there are first, second, and third degree sunburns, just like there are if you, you know, touch your curling iron or something. Like, they're actually levels the same way. A first degree burn, sunburn, is one that turns the skin pink or red. So that's kind of the traditional sunburn that we think about where, you know, you're laying out and you actually start to feel really hot, like your skin actually starts to feel really hot. And then you go inside and you're like, oh, my skin is red and that burns. Great. Now, prolonged sun exposure where you receive blistering is a second degree burn. Look, I was a sun criminal in my younger years, because I didn't know any better. Yeah, didn't know any better. And I felt like if my skin was burning, then I'm on my way. But I can honestly say that I have never gotten a sunburn to the point where I actually had blistering and had gotten to that second degree level. Had you ever had that before?
I have. Really? I'm trying to think the last bad sunburn I've had, but I've had sunburns like where I can't lay down.
Ooh.
Like, I guess it didn't make a water blister on my skin, but it was close. Like, it was super tender to the touch, super peely. Where it peeled, there was like little collection of moisture, but I haven't gotten like blisters, but yeah. I've gotten like little tiny moisture pockets. And that was in high school. That was a weekend. Like, I got sunburnt to a crisp.
Yeah.
And then I also got a jellyfish wrapped around my neck, jumping off my parents' dock. So like, I was just red and itchy all over. It was quite a weekend.
That's awful.
Yeah. And the jellyfish wasn't my fault, but the sunscreen was. And my parents are always like, reapply, reapply, reapply. And I'm like, no, I want to be crispy brown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Instead you're crisp and red and it's unpleasant.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, with a third degree burn, you're actually looking at potentially scarring and that sort of thing. But those are a lot more rare, I think.
Yeah.
I would imagine maybe people who
that's like live on a desert island got abandoned out there kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Like Tom Hanks with Wilson out on the island. I mean, right. I think that it's a little bit of a different situation. But yeah, I think you can go from the first degree sunburn to the second degree pretty quickly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And especially like it's those times when you may not have worn sunscreen and you kind of look down at like your leg or like your arm and you're like, oh, I'm red.
Yeah.
I'm really red. And then you realize you have nothing you can do about it. Yeah. And you just continue to crisp during the day and you know it's bad, but you have no sunscreen. This happens to me at football games. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. And I think that there comes a point too where you, because if you are not wearing any sunscreen before the burn starts, it doesn't really matter what you put on. Once it happens,
screwed.
It's the train has left the station.
Yeah.
Now, one thing when we were, you know, looking into this episode that really surprised me was why a sunburn hurts. And I think intrinsically we kind of know like burn equals hurt. But I didn't really realize kind of what happens internally with your skin that causes that pain. So there's a study I came across that says that when your skin's DNA monitoring and repair system judges that there's too much damage to your skin to actually fix, it will flag those cells for destruction. And then it calls in your immune system to come in and finish the job. So the immune cells and the extra fluid squeezing into the skin causes swelling, redness, heat, and pain. And those are kind of all the descriptors of the sunburn. So effectively, all of those UV rays come in and destroy your cells. And that giant collection of cells that are destroyed are actually marked. Like your DNA recognizes you cannot fix it. It's too far gone. And so your body just decides to like let it go, and then your immune system kicks in and that's when everything happens. So I thought that was kind of interesting, sort of the science part behind it, that it's not necessarily like the sun that actually causes the pain. It's sort of like a reaction internally. So that was interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
So now that we've kind of told you what a sunburn is and how they work, obviously, now you know I'm going to apply sunscreen. But yeah. I feel like there's a common misconception around SPF. I know we've had a few episodes on SPF, and you can go back and listen to those. Girls Just Want to Have Sun Part 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about your SPF. Just because you're wearing a higher SPF doesn't mean you get to reapply less. And I'm definitely so guilty of this one.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just go get SPF 100 and wear yeah. it forever. It's about the amount of rays it's blocking. So if you get 30% SPF, it's going to block around 97% of rays. SPF 50 blocks around 98% of rays. So it's blocking the rays. But, and obviously higher SPF is going to protect skin better, but it's not going to protect it for longer.
Yeah.
So just be aware, as you are applying your SPF throughout the summer, that just because it's higher doesn't mean it can stay forever. You still need to reapply just as much. You maybe get away with like an extra 30 minutes or so, but
yeah,
you still got to lather up.
So there are like 100 websites that give you ideas for DIY suggestions on things you can use from like your kitchen or your refrigerator as sunburn remedies. There are lots of things out there that dermatologists say that you should do. Mm-hmm. And so I think this list we're about to give you, while there are some things on the internet that say it's totally okay, as we all know, you shouldn't just believe everything.
You can't just trust the internet, people.
So there are some websites out there that recommend things like mayonnaise and sour cream. As I cannot imagine putting mayonnaise and sour cream like all over my body if I had a sunburn. That
is crazy. here's why people go there. One, it's cold. Like
yeah.
mayonnaise and sour cream are cold. So like for a little bit, it's going to make you feel better.
Yeah.
And two, mayonnaise and sour. Well, I let me go with the mayonnaise. Mayonnaise has egg. Egg has fats. Fats are going to rehydrate your skin. I don't really know if sour cream can hydrate your skin.
Yeah.
I'm surely not going to be the guinea pig. But the takeaway is that there is moisture in those ingredients. Does that mean we need to go raid the condiment section of our fridge? Abso-frickin-lutely not.
Well, and I think the problem with mayonnaise is similar to the problem with things like butter or even petroleum jelly, which typically, like, you know, Vaseline, everyone's like, use Vaseline for everything. But all of those things that are very thick, especially the things that include a lot of oils like butter and mayonnaise, can actually smother or suffocate the skin and trap your body heat. So
right.
it doesn't allow your skin to really breathe, and you're keeping all of that stuff in and making kind of stretching out the healing, worsen inflammation, specifically blisters, and then really make it harder for the burn to heal. So you're kind of doing yourself a disservice, I think,
right.
by stretching out that time.
So when you look at moisturizers, there's like moisturizers, and then there's things that are occlusive, and those trap in the moisture. So
right.
petroleum jelly, Aquaphor, Vaseline, all of those things are occlusive. So it's not going to let your skin breathe. Your skin doesn't breathe. It doesn't have lungs. But you know what I mean. You're not going to be able to transfer any moisture out or any heat out.
Right.
So even though like later on after the sunburn subsides a few days later, you may want to like put on a moisturizer and do like some slugging to help the peeling process move along. It definitely shouldn't be your go-to on night one when you get back from the beach and you lay down and you say, oh, I've made so many mistakes.
right. Another suggestion is, I mean, this sort of seems like duh to me, but stay away from rubbing alcohol. It can strip away the skin's natural oils, which you need as your skin is trying to heal. And it can cause your skin to become even drier, which makes your irritation on your skin even worse. So obviously stay away from that. Tomatoes. I have not heard of tomatoes before.
I haven't heard of this one either.
I think it's similar to another one on some of these lists, which is vinegar. So very, very acidic.
Right. Still don't get it.
The old wives' tale is that the juice of a tomato is supposed to relieve redness, but they're pretty acidic. And so it may not actually help. And then again, similar to vinegar, it's really acidic. And so it's likely to irritate the skin too.
Also, like, I'm sorry, did you get sprayed by the skunk or by the sun?
Right.
Make up your mind.
And I think some people, maybe they confuse like jellyfish stings, because I know vinegar is on the list for like, some people think it helps with jellyfish. So maybe that's, people just think
as
like,
as someone who's had a jellyfish wrapped around their neck, yes, it does.
So maybe people just think like globally ocean and they just lump vinegar into
they're
every
like
problem.
Just the ocean heals all wounds mentality. Right.
One thing that I think is really interesting is I have seen the next two suggestions both as don't do this and sure, give this a shot, which I feel like is so typical in this space, because you'll have some dermatologists that are like, oh, it's a terrible idea, never do that. And you'll have some that are like, yeah, give it a shot, you should be fine.
Yeah.
So, which, whatever. One is milk and the next is tea.
What's so the benefit milk, behind the tea? Oh, or sorry, behind the milk, behind both. Explain. Well,
okay. So for milk, on the con side, people are saying that apart from feeling cold on your skin, there's really no reason why you would try this, because they don't really understand what sort of like soothing option it would have. But then some people say that it contains lactic acid, which can help buff away peeling or flaking skin associated with a burn. Now, in my non-dermatologist brain, I don't understand why you would apply lactic acid to a sunburn.
Once the burn is gone and you're just a peeling little peeler McPeelerson. I guess I can see, because I mean, when you're burning, you're peeling, you just want to like speed along the peeling process. So maybe using something like a lactic acid would work. But I would think like a physical exfoliant would be so much better in that situation. It just kind of helps slough off that dead skin.
Yeah, I could see that, kind of take that dead skin off.
Yeah.
So with tea, on the con side, they're saying that, you know, tea has anti-inflammatory properties. So possibly it could help with some of the inflammation, but there are better ways to get at the inflammation than tea. Now, on the pro side, there are some people that say that green and black tea are great because they contain tannins, polyphenols, and those specifically have the anti-inflammatory properties. So it's more, it's specific kinds of tea, and then it's specific things inside the tea. And so when you make a compress with those specific kinds of tea, then, you know, it can potentially help. Just make sure, obviously, the tea is not hot.
Yeah.
It's cold, and that will help. So, yeah, you know, kind of those two options are kind of in both camps. I think I'm seeing them on pro and con lists. But yeah, it, across the board, it sort of seems like maybe the food items shouldn't be the first thing that you consider when you're looking for some relief.
There's
some over-the-counter medications and things you can buy at a drugstore or even a grocery store that are going to provide you better relief in a safer way. And I think a lot more quickly than some of those DIY options.
For sure. So what do you do when you didn't listen to Alicia and Nicole and get sunburned? And now we've told you that you should not go to your fridge to fix the sunburn. So number one, a cool shower is going to help. Like, it's not going to be pleasant and it's going to be super cold because you're super hot internally.
Yeah.
Or externally, depending on who you are. But
well, if you think about it though, if you, I mean, you know, you burn your finger on your curling iron, what's the first thing you do? You run it under cold water. So, I mean, it makes sense. It's similar.
Right.
There.
Right. And then just cleanse your skin like a normal person, which is normal soap and water, like nothing wild.
Yeah.
Don't go in there and exfoliate yet. Once you start like peeling off, you can talk about that. But like, don't be like, oh, let me pre-peel my skin. That's totally not a thing. You're just going to ruin your skin barrier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you do want to moisturize, and you want to moisturize a lot using something that's not occlusive. So like Aveeno, CeraVe, What else?
I think there's way more on the market now than there were. A lot of companies are coming out with actual like burn lotions and burn gels. I mean, I remember for a long time growing up, the only thing you could find was that like green aloe after sun care.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't any, like there weren't a lot of options.
My favorite from the drugstore is Solarcaine, which is a lidocaine spray contains aloe. So lidocaine is like a topical analgesic.
Yeah, analgesic, I think.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
It numbs you. So use that. That will help. The initial sting will help you feel cool and not as miserable. And it's great to use when you do have a more severe burn. You can get it just numb the pain away.
Yeah. So some of the things that Nicole mentioned earlier, CeraVe has one. They have a hydrocortisone cream. Sunbum makes one. It's a cool down aloe vera gel lotion. Hawaiian Tropic has an after sun lotion. Cetaphil has a soothing gel cream with aloe. Burt's Bees makes one. Gold Bond makes one. So whether you're looking for one that's fragrance free or non-greasy, or you know, if your sunburn itches or your skin is peeling, there really are options across the board for, you know, whatever you're looking for. So yeah, so hydrocortisone creams, if you add some hydrocortisone cream to your shopping list, it's a prescription-free topical steroid and it can really help to kick your redness kind of to the curb. Obviously not giving you medical advice on how to use hydrocortisone cream. I mean, there's instructions on the bottle, so like follow the instruction. But I know the American Academy of Dermatology recommends not to use anything that have benzocaine in it. So lidocaine, benzocaine, two different things. So you just need to be careful if you are buying something that's over the counter, that's you know, got some active ingredients in it more than some of the lotions we mentioned, like Cetaphil or CeraVe or Burt's Bees or, you know, what have you. You need to be paying attention to the active ingredients because they, you know, there's good ones and bad ones out there for sunburns.
Well, another thing you can do while you're suffering is you can make a cold compress. That being said, don't apply pure ice to your skin because that's just going to be too much like of a temperature differential. Oh my God. It's going to be too much.
We all knew where
it's
going to
be
going.
Too much of a temperature differential. But I mean, you could make like a bowl of ice water and then make yourself a cold compress for like your shoulders or wherever you feel like you're just going to pass away and die. So.
Yeah. And one thing I thought that was extremely interesting in some of the articles that we were reading, there was a 2017 study published in the Journal of Investigative Dermatology, which totally sounds like a journal we need to be reading on a regular basis.
We do. How do we get a subscription?
I don't know. I'm going to look into this. That. But it revealed that high doses of vitamin D taken 1 hour after a sunburn have been shown to reduce redness, swelling, and inflammation. Study participants who took higher concentrations of vitamin D also demonstrated less epidermal structural damage as well, which is extremely interesting. I've never heard that before. So that actually might be something really interesting to talk to your doctor or, you know, the medical professional that you see. Have a conversation with them because obviously when you start adding vitamins to your routine, I mean, you know, sometimes there can be too much of a good thing. So maybe have that conversation in the future about bumping up your vitamin D if you do end up having a one-off sunburn and, you know, you're kind of struggling to get that calmed down. Could be something interesting to talk to your doctor about. Yeah. And I think the last suggestion is an actual natural suggestion, which is aloe vera gel.
Can't hate on the OG, the sunburn protection. Mm-hmm. And you can also plant it and just like keep it in your yard and like go cut off a little thing and like squeeze it out. And you're like, I'm so, you know, hippy dippy natural. And then it's always there.
Well, I remember in school, teachers like couldn't give you medicine, but they would always have aloe plants in their classrooms. Do you remember this?
I remember they couldn't give you medicine.
I had several teachers.
Like, here's a Band-Aid for your headache.
I had several teachers who kept aloe plants in their classroom. And so if students like had an injury or a wound or whatever, they would just cut off a piece of the aloe plant and give it to them. And, you know, yeah, I remember that. Maybe that wasn't allowed. I don't know.
That's a different kind of scandal for skincare and scandals.
Yeah, it's a different kind of scandal.
Did your teacher give you a piece of an aloe vera plant? You could be eligible for compensation.
I think those are some, I think they're good suggestions and things to watch out for. So let's see, to sum this up, don't go to your refrigerator.
Or Target, make it a trip. Or just listen
or
to
Target.
Us.
Or Target, yeah.
And like Alicia said the other day,
or just listen.
The
to
best
us.
Way right. to avoid troubles in life is just to listen to her the first time. I'm so happy I've incorporated that line in this episode.
Oh, man.
Oh, geez.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Good time.
So on that note, thank you for listening to another episode of Skincare and Scandals, the podcast where you should just listen to what we say the first time and avoid your sunburn and not even have to go down the route of any of these remedies.
That's right. Use the tried and true methods and you can get over your sunburn in just a few days. It will resolve itself very quickly, but you just have to be smart about the items that you use to get there. All right. That concludes our episode for this week. Thanks so much for joining.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Get your skincare fix throughout the week by following us on social media at Instagram, Facebook, and the occasional TikTok at Skincare and Scandals.
Send us an email or a DM, and we just might answer your question on our next episode. Our contact info is in the show notes for each show.